podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. Creep on in, on in, on in.
Here we go again. Five questions, five answers. I got five on it. I'm Jeremy Nicholas Phoenix. I'm in the building in the booth. I'm here with my older brother, Brandon. I also hate Pitt Phoenix. Football is around the corner, but not quite yet. From spring football to summer football. Either way, five questions are coming up. Get ready. Chill.
What's up, RVK fans? This is your host, Jordan Tycuri, for the segment of I Got Five on It with the Raspy Voice Kids. The Raspy Voice Kids have five fill-in-the-blank answers, so let's start off with the first blank. I believe there's blank at the quarterback competition.
I believe there is not a true quarterback competition. What I mean by that is I believe that they are competing at quarterback, but I don't believe that there's anybody that can unseat JT Daniels from the number one spot on the depth chart that we all believe and know is where he is in Neil Brown and Graham Harrell's heart. So there is not a true quarterback competition. But for the rest of fall camp, what we will hear and what we will probably see is that there is a competition. My guess, my belief, my bet is that there's not a true competition.
The only competition between the quarterbacks is if they're eating, if they're playing EA Sports, if they're on the sticks, because there's no competition on the field. The starter, your starter is JT Daniels. I don't care what you hear. Now, you said earlier, maybe you try to push a few quarterbacks, say this and that. Maybe there's quarterbacks who are fighting for some packages where they take off running. Garrett Green, you know, a little bit more wildcat or option football. Maybe that's possible. But as for starting quarterbacks, anybody reporting anything else, and maybe I'm going to look like I have egg on my face. It won't even be egg because I'm coming so strong. I'll just look like I'm stupid. There's no competition. It's JT Daniels. We all know this. Sorry. We all know this.
Number two. Blank will have the biggest impact on defense this year.
Jeremy, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. They got me sold on it. I know that Dante Stills is a Bednarik Award watch list guy. I know that he is he's on several watch lists. He's first team all Big 12 preseason. I know all those things for Dante Stills. And I know he's a man. I know he's a man. I know he's got that dog in him. But Lee Koba, coming from Syracuse as a transfer, being the quarterback of the defense, as they're calling him, with the athleticism that they're saying he has, being in the middle, being in coverage, attacking the quarterback, playing against the run, he's the guy who can and will have the option to do pretty much all of it. I think he'll have the biggest impact. I mean, Koba's the guy.
I'm with you. I think the answer has to be Koba. I really do. He's in the middle of the defense. He's like the David Long Jr., be everywhere, who could really affect the defense. But I want I just because maybe I want that shutdown, lockdown corner, the things I hear about Charles Woods at corner, the things I hear Bryce Ford Wheaton saying about him makes me – I don't think it is – it's extremely impactful if you have a corner who can shut down the field. Now, you have referenced and said before that it's different than what it was with the spread offenses and things you can do. But if you can shut down somebody's top receiver and have a corner go one-on-one, that is a huge deal when it comes to the defense. But I just don't think that you can have as much of an impact unless you are like a Darrell Revis, shut down Pac-Man Jones, shut down Nate. I was going to say Nate Terry, but I meant Aaron Beasley. I mean, you can throw Nate Terry in there if you want to, but Aaron Beasley type, who's going to completely suffocate one side of the field. I don't know if Charles Woods is that. So the answer has to be Koba.
Number three, the unit I'm most nervous to see is blank.
The unit I'm most nervous to see is the same unit that everybody's most nervous to see, Jeremy. It's so obvious, it's so blatant, it's so ridiculously disrespectful to
them. The kicking crew.
The kicking crew. Yeah. No, I'm not worried about the kicking crew. I'm worried about what everybody's
special
worried
teams,
about.
Special teams, right? Special teams.
Starts with an S. You're right. Starts with an S. Secondary. Everybody's worried about the dudes who lost everybody to transfers except for one guy, Charles Woods. The secondary is young. The secondary is inexperienced. The secondary has a lot to prove. Everybody's worried about that secondary. Put me on that list. I'm worried about them too.
Yeah. Look, people, stay tuned for we're going in because I'm not doing it here. We'll wait till we're going in and we'll talk about that. I'm just going to answer the question now on I Got Five On It. And we're going in this very next segment. The unit I'm most nervous to see is the offensive line. Begins and ends with the offensive line. This year, for West Virginia fans, you're going to say stress Virginia. Whatever West Virginia does great, whatever West Virginia does terrible, the highs, the lows, it's going to start with and end with that offensive line. Start and end with that offensive line. And that's the bottom line. I know we bring it back, people. I know you're saying this. I know, not your word. I know the reporters are saying this. I know the coach is saying this. You know, most experienced line, they're all coming back. Baby, I want to believe it. Believe you me, look in my eyes. I want to believe it. But you're going to have to show me. And until you do, because if we get out there, and you know what? Not even, I gave my answer. When we're going in, I'll explain it more. That's my answer to the offensive line.
Number four. If Michael Laughlin has a big year, it'll mean blank for WVU.
It'll mean we have a Mackey Award finalist and nothing more. If he has a big year, it means we have a Mackey Award finalist. I don't know what it means necessarily to the offense because what if nobody else is successful? Maybe he's just the safety valve. Maybe he's just the safety, the security blanket for JT Daniels, and that's why he has a big season. I don't know exactly what it means. I need more context. But it means he'll be a Mackey Award finalist since he's a Mackey Award. He's on the Mackey Award watch list. So if he has a big season, it puts us on the map. It puts us on the radar. It puts us in the conversation again for one of these major awards. That's what I think.
If he has a big year, it gives us 9 or 10 wins. You don't need context when you have context clues, Brandon. If this guy has a big year, that means they're not keeping him in the block. If they're not keeping him in the block, that means that the offensive line is handling it themselves. And the offensive line is handling it themselves where he can get open, he gets stats that is recorded and people can see and notice. That means the rushing game's going well. And if you're hitting him, you can't tell me there's not other people who are being hit as well. Brandon, if this man has 800 yards and 6 touchdowns, we're going 9 or 10 wins. You don't need the context when you have the context clues. Look at it. Look at it. You know what? I wish I would have looked up the stats every time West Virginia had a tight end who went over 500 yards catching and what was their record after. Because I don't know for a fact, but I would bet my bottom dollar that they had an excellent season. And that's the way I feel. If Michael Laughlin goes 700 yards and 5 touchdowns, West Virginia is winning 9 games. Take that to the bank. Bold. Just not mine. Just not mine. Yeah. Just not mine.
Number 5. If West Virginia wins one rivalry game this year, I want it to be blank.
Pitt. It has to be Pitt. First and foremost, it's Pitt. And you all know my name as I also hate Pitt. No matter what you know about me, I also hate Pitt. So it's got to be Pitt. Second, we haven't played them in over a decade. So to get back in the ring with them and to win that battle is super important to me. We got to beat Pitt. We got to win that game. Third, it's the first game at Acrisure Stadium. Go down in history. That win goes to West Virginia University. That's a big deal. I would love to have that in the record books. Going down in history.
No, that's a good point. That's huge. That's huge. That's a good point.
Fourth, we start the season with a bang. We build up all season long. We just saw practices from Chris Hall and Sean Manning posting on Twitter videos from practice where they're blasting Sweet Caroline over the loudspeakers, over the PA system while they're practicing. They're building up. You don't want to let down in game one. Then you have Kansas, then Towson. There's a good chance you start out 3-0 if you can get that first win. It's really important to me that you start out with a win, start the season right, you beat Pitt. We beat Virginia Tech last year. I don't want to lose to them ever, but I would be okay with a split, a home and home, if it meant we got to beat Pitt. And plus, the more Narduzzi talks, the more that I hate him. And I hate him just like I hate Pitt. So it's got to be Pitt. We got to beat Pitt.
Narsnoozy. Yeah. Yeah. The answer is definitely Pitt. The answer is definitely Pitt. And there's a bunch of reasons for it, but I'm going to be honest, the older I get, the more, I don't like Virginia Tech, but the hate was years ago when we used to play and they had, you know, Marcus Vick and their fans and maybe it'll bring, come back down in Blacksburg. I really dislike them, but I dislike them. I don't hate them as much as I really, really dislike them. Pitt, don't get it twisted. I hate Pitt. I'll forever hate Pitt. And I think the worst thing that could happen is somehow they beat us, and then we have to hear all of their fake fans come out of nowhere. At least Virginia Tech has real fans. At least they're real down there. Pittsburgh is not. If we somehow lost a Pitt and to hear and to see them people coming at me, whew, can't do it. Can't win with them. Can't do it. I'm just trying to do the San Francisco coach. It's not working, but it doesn't matter. We have to beat Pitt. What'd you say?
You know, I think it's funny, though.
What?
I did meet a Pitt fan one time organically at a Cincinnati Reds game. I was sitting there, and he had a Pitt hat, and I was like, do you really root for Pitt? And he was like, yeah. And, of course, I had WVU stuff on. And he was like, I was like, do you hate WVU? And he was like, yep. And we just didn't talk for the rest of the game. Super hilarious, Jeremy. I never encountered that in my life.
Dude, it's so I love that story because it's the one time in real life. It's like the one time in real life when you see, like, I don't say a bald eagle, but just something in nature that you know exists, but you've never seen it yourself. I'm glad you had that experience. That's something that most Mountaineers fans will never experience, or most people in the country will never experience. Yep. But I'm glad you had that one. But that's what we got. I got five on it. Five questions, five answers. Let's go in so I can tell Brandon why he's wrong about the secondary.
Rack me, boys!
More than 100 schools available from Home Field Apparel. If you like comfortable clothes, check them out. They are a partner with the Raspy Voice Kids and the 1012 Network. Use our code RASPY12, RASPY12, for a discount on your first order. 15%. Go get it. Tell them we sent you.
Current and former athletes, members of the athletic department, and of course, the best fans in the country all make up a very special group we like to call the Cyclone Family. Join me, Jamie Steyer Johnson, as I bring you closer to the people that make Iowa State unique each week on the Cyclone Family podcast. Some names you may know, while others may be new to you, but one thing's for sure, this is one family reunion you won't want to miss. Each week on the Cyclone Family podcast.
Rack me, boys!
All right, here we go. We're going in. Getting ready, getting locked down, baby. Everybody's in summer. Means it's the avalanche, the downhill to the regular season. And we're in that mode, too. Like, I'm getting in that feisty mode, Brandon. I'll be honest with you. I'm getting in that feisty mode that I ain't taking nothing. I'm trying to cool my jets on how many games West Virginia wins, but every day I see those beautiful, beautiful, beautiful helmets they have playing against Pitt. I'm just getting more and more jacked, and, bro, we are so close. I can taste it. Matter of fact, when you guys hear this, it'll be tomorrow morning. When you hear this, you will no longer have to spend a day without football because on Thursday night is the Hall of Fame game. That's right, the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Raiders. Before getting to that, let me just say once again, I'm going to introduce ourselves. We are the Raspy Voice Kids. I'm Jeremy Nicholas Phoenix, Jay and Fiend, the building in the booth. I'm here with my brother,
Brandon Phoenix, a.k.a. I also hate Pitt.
He's in the building as well. Brandon, no more weeks without football. People sometimes want to downplay it. Oh, it's just preseason. I don't care. It's not Canadian. It's not XFL. There's nothing else on. Football starts now. The NFL, Jacksonville Jaguars, Raiders, Hall of Fame game. If you're listening to this right now, it's tonight. You don't have to go any more weeks without football. It's here and I like it. Whoo, got to get Jack for that, Brandon. But if we're dealing with West Virginia.
Travis Etienne have already been ruled out. They're not playing, but you know.
You know, but it's football, bro. It's good old American football. Speaking of good old American football, I keep hearing this thing online that's talking about other quarterbacks outside of JT Daniels. I saw one report, I can't remember who it was talking about the push Garrett Green's making to start. I heard other people saying they're all splitting time and reps in practice.
Well, that was day Brandon. One. They got equal reps.
Brandon, like my cousin Vinny says, do you think this holds any water?
What do you mean?
Do you think this means anything?
No, I don't think it means anything ultimately. I mean, I think so far, well, I like that the coaches aren't handing JT Daniels the job. Like, I like that they're making him earn it. But I think he'll earn it, and I think he'll earn it early. I think it'll be over quickly. I don't think it'll be down to the wire with anybody. And I don't think there's anything Garrett Green, Nico Markiol, or Will Crowder can do to affect the race because JT Daniels is that much better as long as he's healthy.
I'm with you. I see all these reports. I hear all these things, and maybe it's an open competition. Maybe they're all splitting reps. In my mind, there's no competition going on. Like, it is what it is. JT Daniels is going to be your opening day starter. He's going to be your starter all year. Because I'd be shocked if Neil Brown went against his better judgment after he already selected a quarterback, seeing as the other years he hasn't budged on it. I will say I'll take that back. He did start Austin Kendall in the bowl game. He did bring Austin Kendall in the bowl game. But I feel very strongly that it's going to be JT Daniels. Maybe I'll be wrong. Like I said, I could possibly be wrong. But I think this is a way to motivate people. And I also think this is a way to keep people enrolled. Because if you come out and say you have no shot, then why am I here?
No, and that's not fair. Like, it's not fair to tell some guy. Why would you tell JT Daniels, who hasn't played a snap for you, you're the guy and he hasn't proven it? Like, that's not fair. That's not – sports is a meritocracy, meaning you earn it. You earn everything you get. There's very few things in this world that's a true meritocracy. Sports at the highest level are a meritocracy.
Hello? Did you hear that pop? Did you hear that pop?
Yeah.
So I had these grapes in this cup beside me, and a couple of them went bad. And this cup was sealed. Like, it was like a seal thing. And it may have been here for a couple days beside me.
Jeremy.
Brandon, I just put my hand on it. And the top, like I played with the top, and the top just popped off, like blew off.
Fermentation, son.
Is that what was going on in there?
Fermentation.
Good night. Everything else in my house is spotless. Just I left this one thing out. I can't believe it. Brandon, that was crazy. Anyway, sorry. I know y'all heard the pop. I know y'all heard the pop. That was the pop that disrupted us. I'm sorry.
It's all good.
But whatever Brandon said, I probably agreed with, maybe not, but that's all that matters. I got distracted.
No, I was just saying sports is a meritocracy. You can't just hand the job to JT Daniels. You have to earn it. Everybody earns everything in sports at the highest level. So I'm glad that they're doing it the way they're doing it. That's all I said.
No, absolutely. Another thing, John Antonik, I saw him. And I keep bringing this up because I feel like it's not a big deal, but he was comparing Bryce Ford Wheaton to Jerry Porter from what he saw. Now, I don't know if he's talking about his catches. I don't know if he's just talking about his athleticism or his build, but he made the comparison between Jerry Porter and Bryce Ford Wheaton. Got any feelings about that?
Yeah, you know how I feel. Like I've said this, I said it with Jen Will on the Mountain Mama Living podcast. Go check that out. I said it on WTAP's Daybreak. Check that out on Friday. I'll say it again here. Bryce Ford Wheaton can be compared to Jerry Porter all you want. But Jerry Porter, tell me anybody listening, tell me the offensive play you remember Jerry Porter making. Tell me the highlight. Let's see his highlight film. You can't give it to me because it doesn't exist. Jerry Porter did nothing of consequence at WVU offensively.
Yeah, and I hear you, but like I've said all day, that doesn't mean he didn't have the ability to do anything of consequence. And sometimes the blame has to lie with the coaching staff around him, because maybe if they use him right, not put him at safety and put him at receiver the whole time like he played in the NFL, maybe he would have. But they moved him around so much. So I do think it's significant that if he really is like Jerry Porter and with this coaching staff who does like to throw the rock, and he ain't going to play safety, he's playing receiver like he's done the last few years, it could be a big deal. My thing is, though, that's a large – I mean, I don't know if he runs like Jerry Porter. I don't know if he jumps like Jerry Porter. I know Jerry Porter was a freak of an athlete. Bryce Ford Wheaton looks the part, but I'm at the point where I need to see improvement on the field. And this is the year to do it, in a new offense with a five-star quarterback, with a five-star coach, with a coach who threw for a lot of yards, offensive coordinator who threw for a lot of yards. This is the year to put up or shut up. And I think Bryce Ford Wheaton can do it. But I can't start comparing him to some dude who played many, many years in the NFL until I see he can hold on to the ball and he can separate himself from just being a solid receiver to an elite receiver.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you 100%.
So you didn't want to talk about TBT finale, right?
No, I mean, I don't. No, once Master Gene is out of it, I'm not really interested. I got to be honest.
It was fun for what it was. They provided great spark. They provided a lot of pageantry for the fan base. Let's go Mountaineer cheers, led by John Flowers and his daughter, which was amazing. A great weekend. We dropped to Dayton. Dayton got it done in the Elam ending. People are a little salty about that. Hey, look, that's the way it goes. You get some calls, you lose some calls, make a shot. You don't have to worry about it. Overall, we're extremely proud of them guys. We're glad that it went down. We hope to see them back there again, but there's not a whole lot to say after that, right?
Yeah, I don't really have anything to say. Like, shout out to Blue Collar. I think Team Blue Collar is what they were called from Buffalo. They won. Shout out to them. Good for them. Happy for them. Elam ending should be added to everything, by the way. I know you don't agree, but I love the Elam ending. Should be added to everything. It gets rid of teams who slow down the game for no reason. It gets rid of unnecessary fouling and free throws for no reason. It gets rid of the ugliness of the last minute or two, especially in college basketball. Horrific endings in college basketball. Elam ending is the way to go.
Now, I like it. I like it. I don't know if I want it for my NCAA or my NBA, but everything outside of it, absolutely. Absolutely. Give it to me.
Now that's it. That's what we got for the show. That's what we got for this week on the Raspy Voice Kids podcast. Check us out. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube page. We will have more content there. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast platform. Make sure you are following us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok. Do what you do, and we'll keep keeping on. Holla at you boys.
Sports Social Podcast Network.